It's time for Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you. Landon Schmidt producing. We're with you a little bit shorter this afternoon, the next 2.5 hours, as we've got Ole Miss baseball coming up. First pitch of their final regular season series scheduled for 6 o'clock, but we'll have the pregame show starting at 5:30, so we'll get out of here a little bit earlier today, but a very busy show today. We've got to talk, obviously, a lot of NBA with the NBA playoffs. Still a lot of talk about the NBA Combine. We'll talk a lot of Tigers. Greg Gaston's going to join us a little bit later, but also the PGA Championship getting started earlier today as round one is in progress. We'll talk a lot about that. Also, NFL schedules will officially be released in its entirety later tonight. So a lot to get into. But Brett, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Brian. How can I have the NFL schedule release covered for us tonight when I really honestly believe by 7 o'clock it will all be out there courtesy of just a couple of sites? Mm-hmm. Some of those have to be in-house NFL people under assumed names.
It's got to be. I mean,
It's my contention. Look, everybody's got to do whatever they got to do. I think a lot of these places in sports, everywhere, anybody, they work with the secondary ticket brokers. Mm-hmm. They work with them. You know, we'll sell them to you for X, and then anything above. I don't know how they do it, but I think they work with them. And a lot of times, this much information has got to be somebody, you know, we kind of want that out there. Mm-hmm. But we don't want it out under at NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, I kind of.
Was that conspiratorial?
No, I mean, Brett, okay. We've talked good about it. I think the NFL likes all of these leaks about these big games.
I
think they like all the talk about it. And, I mean, instead of just having one day or one night where everybody's talking about them, we've been talking about these games for more than a week of these big-time games. So, you know, I think it's one of those things where, you know, the television partners want the schedule release show, and obviously the NFL likes to have that time set aside for them where it's all focused on the schedule, but they see of, hey, instead of keeping this under wraps and making it a, you know, one day story, we can make it a story where it's a whole week of just,
let's,
hey, this game
burn
here, this game there, this game there. And I mean, with the NFL, if it was any other league, it probably wouldn't be a big story with all of these games, but because it's the NFL, because of all of these different big-time games and how big the NFL is in and of itself, we all care about all these announcements and of these games, and so it becomes, instead of just a kind of, hey, we're going to dominate Thursday night and people are going to be talking about our schedule, it's people have been talking about our schedule for almost 2 weeks now.
I've been to the Twitter machine so infrequently that I've just realized, do they not have the what you've liked stored anymore?
They do, but they changed it. It's somewhere different now because used to other people could see your likes. Then they changed it to where nobody else could see your likes, but you could still see your likes. And now they've changed it. I actually just noticed it today. I don't know if they changed it today or not, but it's now.
How do I find what I like to jog my memory to mention on our fine radio show?
It's in your, so if you swipe over it, there's a button that says history. If you press history, then there's four kind of categories, and then the last one is likes.
This is very much like me trying to buy my World Cup ticket. I see no history.
Interesting. So I don't know. I mean,
not worried about it though.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's.
I'll just have to write it down and remember better.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where yours is, but yeah, it feels like Twitter. They're always changing something over there. X, I guess now they completely changed the name of it. So still
really
trying
to, how much I really care,
yeah,
about it.
Still trying to figure out what to call it and where everything, yeah, is, because it feels like
mean old
always,
Elon. He ruined, yeah, Twitter, didn't he?
Well, he did for a second there, but I think I think it's better now. For a
he's
while,
so
there,
mean.
It was hard to be on Twitter for,
God,
for
some
a long
of the crybabies about
time.
Twitter.
Yeah, but I think it's gotten to a place.
Just
now
say you don't
fine
like Elon's, yeah, politics, no, and right, move right along.
That's right. But a lot of people, they cannot separate those two things.
I'm go to Blue Sky and cry, that's with right, my friends.
Yeah, yeah, I don't even know if Blue Sky's still a thing. I never went over to Blue Sky.
It's Blue Sky outside today. Serious question. Outside right now, 76, 77, 78 degrees. I think that's perfect the perfect temperature in our area. Yeah. I think today is close to perfect, isn't it?
No, it is. Yeah, it's a really
good
weather.
You can sweat if you really get down on it.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to sweat, you still want to be outside, you won't today.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful day out there today. I know the Redbirds were in action earlier. They had a little education day, so there were a bunch of students out there, so it's a perfect day for that, and looked like it was a fun time. So, yeah, it's a good day to be outside and enjoy the weather. It's a really nice day.
It is. We mentioned the NFL schedule, full release tonight, a lot of it already out, including all of Christmas Day and all of Thanksgiving, and now Thanksgiving Eve and Christmas Eve.
Yeah, and so we're getting it slowly but surely, and we'll have the whole thing tonight, and you got us covered. I don't know what you're going to really be covering, but you've got it, whatever it is.
Well, I do. I'll find something interesting.
There you go. I will not be watching it. I still don't know what I'll be watching tonight. It will not be the schedule release, though.
I sent this to you last night. A lot of people cracking on Jalen Duren's performance in the playoffs, first round and this round, and particularly last night. And it was very illustrative when basically, the last 4 minutes, J.B. Bickerstaff didn't look at him to go in.
Yeah, well, I don't think he played a minute in the fourth quarter and a minute in overtime. I mean, it was
longer than that, huh?
I think so. I'm going to go double check, but it was
okay.
He was out for a really long time.
I sent this to you last night. Everybody back off a little bit. I know around here we'll be a little more prone to backing off of a really great player that we saw just the tip of the iceberg in that 1 year. Really, this whole playoff season has kind of been like the 1 point he scored against Ole Miss that year.
But the
rest of it turned out well, and his career is going to turn out well. In the fall, I think in November, he turns 23. He's playing right now at 22 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
Trinidad Chambliss in August will turn 24.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's wild.
That means right now he's 23 to Jalen Duren's 22.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and that was the thing about Jalen Duren. I mean, he was the youngest player in the NBA after he got drafted and made his debut for Detroit. And so, you know, it feels like he's been around for a while, but still, you know, very, very young. It's kind of similar to the conversation we have about Jordan Walker. You know, Jordan Walker is only 23 years old, and it feels like, you know, a lot of people, you know, obviously is having a great season so far this year, but, you know, going into the season, a lot of people piling on him, and it's like, you know, he's still just so young. And so, you know, especially with a guy like Jalen Duren who's going through his first playoffs, there's some of those growing pains. I think you're seeing those growing pains. I mean, you know, there's no way to sugarcoat it. He's been awful these playoffs. But, you know,
Detroit hadn't been very good as a team.
No. But I think, you know, he will, you know, this will make him better. And, you know, I think he is going to take these, you know, I don't know Jalen Duren from anybody else. I mean, I just, you know, covered him the year he was here. But seeing kind of him from afar, it feels like he's a guy that will take this sort of performance, take this sort of criticism, and go and really, you know, get the work done in the offseason and will come back better next season and next playoffs if Detroit's back in this position.
We would talk a lot of Tigers at 5 o'clock with Greg Gasson like we always do every Thursday. So, Greg, so kind to join us and talk Tiger sports with us, not just basketball, but football, basketball, everything going on, including baseball. But you did a really good piece. I know that was one of the things I liked and wanted to talk about.
Yes.
And want to talk about it with you on where all the Tiger players are now from last year's team.
Yeah, so they're all kind of landing different places. The last one just committed. It was Ashton Hardaway committed on, I think, late Tuesday night. And so, yeah, they're all starting to find their...
I found history.
Did you? Good. So you're there now. There we go. That is a positive.
This is a microcosm of me with my World Cup ticket.
Yeah, well, no, you're right. You're
keep
right
hitting enough right buttons.
Yes, the way you described it the other day, it definitely sounds like it's very similar to that.
I still got stitches over my right eyebrow, don't I?
Yeah, no, it looks like you've gotten beaten up by this thing. But, yeah, it seems like a lot of former guys finding their spot. For the guys that were on the team last season, Rope going to Nicholls State, Simon Majok going to Nevada, Quante Berry to Lamar, I mentioned Ashton Hardaway going to Coastal Carolina, Curtis Givens to Ohio State, and Aaron Bradshaw to Tennessee State. Today, Jared Harris, who was on the team a couple years ago, he entered the transfer portal again after being at Wyoming. He's going to go to Prairie View A&M, so he is a landing spot. So a lot of former Tigers from last year's team and even before that finding their landing spot. spots, and there's still a couple out there that are that don't have a spot. Yeah, I know Mikey Williams, probably the biggest name that's in the transfer portal that was once a Tiger, but we're starting to get towards the end of this transfer portal, and you know, teams are really, really finalizing the roster.
Brett, thank you for running through that, and that was a really well-done piece that you wrote, and I find it just screams that except for Givens to Ohio State, maybe Nevada, it was all decided appreciable steps down, wasn't it?
Yeah, it feels like it. You know, you look at a lot
for
of
those players.
Yeah, you look at a lot of those players.
We lost, the Tigers lost nothing in any of them.
No.
Givens started LSU, to home, now to Ohio State. Is it really going to click there?
Yeah, I mean, I've got to see it.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope so. But I'm very dubious.
Yeah. No, I am too. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, it looks like a kind of a downgrade for a lot of these you know, a lot of these guys. It might be better fits for them, and you know, they might be able to really capitalize in those leagues and those situations. And you know, a couple of these teams, you know, I think could have, you know, decent to good rosters, but yeah, I mean, I think this was, like you said last week or the week before, whenever we were talking about Aaron Bradshaw landing at Tennessee State, I don't think this was a situation where Memphis was fighting, you know, very hard to keep, you know, many of these guys, if any of the guys that ended up leaving. I believe Penny Hardaway when he says that he had the opportunity there for all the guys to return.
I do too. I've never doubted that.
No, but I do think, you know, it was one of those where the opportunity's there, but we're not going to really fight to keep you here. If you want to go, by all means, hit the door.
Brian, I don't mean to cut to the quick, and I'm not trying to play to be provocative or hurt anyone's feelings. But when you, for the second time, let your own son go, did you really want him and the rest of them that badly?
Yeah, no, it's a,
I don't think I don't need credit for it. I don't think I would ever get credit for it from Penny Hardaway or anyone in the Tiger basketball world. He really followed kind of when we went down that list of who you keep, and we went all the way through it. Landon had his keepers, and you had your keepers, and I went last. And I did that intentionally that day. I wasn't using you guys, but I did it to make a point. I went last. Every one of you can hit the door.
Yeah.
Don't need a one of you. 113, will you?
Yeah.
Almost got fired at my hometown job.
Mm-hmm.
Beat it.
Yeah, and so, you know, getting two back, I think, is good. You know, those were the kind of two likely candidates to return. So you have still kind of the foundation of guys coming back and can, you know, really, you know, lay the groundwork for all of these new guys coming in. But, yeah, I mean, it was bad season last year. It wasn't a very good team. And I think if you listen to Penny Hardaway has never outwardly said the team last year was bad or the players were bad or have called any of them out individually.
He took all the heat.
Yeah, but he has gone out there, and you can kind of read between the lines of, you know, he didn't really think the team was very good as it went through the season. And, you know, they had their issues, and it was hard to overcome some of those issues. And so, yeah, I think going into this offseason, he kind of laid it down of, if you want to come back, you can. If not, we're going to build a new team. And it feels like this offseason, they have kind of gone a different path to kind of identify who and what type of players they want to bring in here.
My only issue with last year is how he sold it over the summer into the season as the second best group he ever put together.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm seeing quotes from a story from Jason Munns, and I'm going to ask Greg Gasson about this. I'm going to ask you about it right now. Now he's saying in so much better shape than a year ago, in so much better shape than last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're in so much better shape, does that mean this is the second best, or is this the first best group you've ever signed?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think you know, it's a question that probably should be asked. But you know, obviously hindsight is always 20/20. I mean, going into last season, you've just put together this team. You know, you're being positive. I'm sure you did like the
and
team.
And foresight's always
exactly
too glowing.
Yeah, it's it, you know, everything is a lot rosier when you're looking at the future. And so you know, you just put together this team. I'm sure you know, if you look at last year's team, I think you could have looked at a lot of those players individually and said, this is a nice piece. This is a piece that could help somebody. But when the team came together and you put it all together, it just wasn't a team that really, the puzzle didn't fit together. All those pieces didn't come together and fit the way they were supposed to. And so I think after the way the season played out, I really do think Penny Hardaway saw that and kind of saw, you know, maybe I was identifying these guys on more of an individual level instead of a kind of team aspect as a whole. So I do believe that he believed that when he said it back last offseason, but now now he's kind of, you know, seen how it played out and thinks, you know, differently in terms of team building and how teams should come together.
And that's the point that you just made. In that same story, he talks about, I want to see a lot more 5-on-5 this summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, basketball's not, you know, pickup game, 1-on-1. It's not 3-on-3. Mm-mm. It's 5-on-5.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that's
– Oh, I can't wait till this summer till we get the first report of man.
Oh, yeah.
The Laurie Walton Center.
Oh, you're going to hear it.
You ought to see those pickup
games. You're definitely going to hear it. But I do think that's a positive of, you know, we talk so much, and it's been a storyline really the last now 2 or 3 years of that team. Now 2 seasons ago with P.J. Haggerty, they all got here pretty early on campus, and they were together, and the team bonding, and to be able to make those guys fit together, they had more time to do that, and it worked more. Last year, it seemed like it was a little later to get the guys and you know, more issues, so maybe this year you try to get back to getting all the guys in as early as possible and try to really get everybody on the same page. We'll see. It's going to be a busy, busy offseason. We'll get more and more information about what this team looks like. But we've got a busy show today, so let me set it up before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, Gary Williams from the Golf Channel, also from the Five Clubs podcast. He'll join us. We'll talk the PGA Championship. It's going on right now. The leader, a whole bunch of leaders, at 3 under as we are making our way through round one. So we'll talk a lot about that in our next segment with Gary Williams. At 3:45, we'll talk more about the NBA playoffs. We'll talk about last night's game and the win for the Cavaliers on the road, the first road win of that series, also the first road win for the Cavaliers this entire playoff. So we'll talk about that one. No game tonight, but we'll start looking ahead to tomorrow night's game between the Spurs and the Timberwolves. 4 o'clock, Keith Smith from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show. He'll join us. We'll talk the NBA with him. We'll talk the playoffs. We'll talk some of the offseason news and notes, but also the NBA lottery and NBA combine are now behind us. I know Keith has kept a close eye on both of those events, so we'll talk about that with Keith Smith. 4:30, we'll talk some Major League Baseball. It's Thursday, so that means a lot of day action. Cardinals, they're in action right now, but already some finals in the books. We'll talk about all of that at 4:30. 4:45, big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Greg Gaston will join us to talk Tigers like he does every single Thursday afternoon. We'll be a little shorter with Greg, but a lot to talk about. Tiger basketball, also Tiger football. Charles Huff was on their show earlier this morning. A really fun interview. If you missed that, make sure to go and check that out. It's on featured audio on the website, so you can go and listen to that interview in its entirety. But we'll have Greg on at 5 o'clock. We'll talk about what he thought of what Charles Huff said earlier this morning. 5:20, like I said, we'll get out a little early with Greg. We'll get to an early Moe's Crunch Time. That's because we've got Ole Miss baseball tonight. Everybody getting started on a Thursday because it's the last weekend of the regular season. So Ole Miss Alabama will have the pregame at 5:30 with that first pitch scheduled for 6 o'clock. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios where family and fun come together. Summer is right around the corner and it's time to get those backyards ready for the ultimate pool party. Above ground pools starting at $39.99 installed with in-ground pools starting at just $49.99. All in-stock patio furniture is priced to move. 5-piece patio furniture sets starting at $9.99, with outdoor sectionals starting at $12.99. A free umbrella and base with select patio furniture sets. And don't forget about those hot tubs and swim spas. Hot tubs starting at $34.99, with swim spas starting at just $16.99. Special financing is available. And if you go in there and mention this ad, get $200 off any pool or spa purchase. So head out there right now. Get out there. Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
He's Brian. I'm Brett. Our producer is Landon Schmidt, and we are Sports Time, and we're with you until about 5:30 today. And we want you to be a big part of our show by texting or calling 901-360-8255. That's our Sissy's Log Cabin text and talk line. All our guests will join us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line at 901-360-8255. Always live, always local, and always from our Family Leisure Studios. And this hour brought to you every day by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2026 models and always special leasing options. Drive in luxury and confidence, knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. You can call them at 901-334-9673, but they want you to stop by the only Lexus dealership in Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway, and that's where you can put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2026 flagship LS500. You'll be looking, you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and they make for the safe luxury driving experience. Online at LexusOfMemphis.com. Experience amazing. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day, it is the NBA playoffs, and it was that win last night for the Cleveland Cavaliers. 117-113 in overtime over the Detroit Pistons. All the controversy around the no call at the end of regulation when Thompson knocked the ball loose. He was going for it, got tripped up. There was no call. Regulation over, and they went to overtime. Cleveland dominated that overtime period and ultimately won the game. So now Cleveland with the lead in this series after going down 2-0, then evening it up with the two games at home, they get a massive road victory. Does that mean this is it? Well, we'll see. The Cavs have been really, really good at home throughout the playoffs. So will they wrap it up in the next game, or can the Pistons get that road win? Not able to win either of the games, like I mentioned, in Detroit earlier this series, so now it is a must win for the number one seed, the Detroit Pistons. Both these teams, I think, have issues. I think the Pistons were starting to see a lot of their issues since the playoffs have started. A great team in the regular season, but they've struggled to figure things out in the postseason. So you know them. They're still a very young team. I think they'll be able to, you know, answer some of those questions, make some moves in the offseason, but still an opportunity to go a little bit further. I think the Knicks are sitting back watching the series, just laughing and enjoying everything they're watching, because they're getting all the R&R that they need, and I feel like they will have a really, really good opportunity against either against either Cleveland or Detroit. So Cleveland, they need to win that next one to not force a game seven in Detroit. You know Detroit would be rocking, but so far so good for Cleveland.
Your guy just hit Aaron Two Glove Ride. Did you see
it? Oh, all right. No, I missed it.
Well, though, Two Gloves.
It was good.
Hope he's warm.
Well, you know his hands are warm, that's for sure.
You know you're playing golf in way too cold the weather when you have to play with two gloves
that's
on.
That's right. That's right.
My top story, first round of Glory's second shot underway at the PGA Championship in Philadelphia. And there's a lot of red numbers. Now, remember, par 70, but there's still a lot of red numbers. There are four in the house at 3-under. Aldrich Pottgeter, Stefan Jaeger, my man Minwoo Lee. Had him at Augusta as my shot.
I love Minwoo.
Did he ever finish?
I don't know.
At Augusta? Playing well at Aronimink, and with all those bunkers, 174 bunkers, there's never been a bad bunker player from Australia. Mm-hmm. That could really help him. Ryo Hisatsuni, boy, it's a name list at the top. Pottgeter, Jaeger, Minwoo Lee, and Ryo Hisatsuni?
It's good enough, right?
Boy, and then on the course, a couple of three-unders. Yeah. Akshay Batia, Martin Keimer. Ooh, thank goodness, Alex Molly. Do you get to a name I can easily pronounce or pronounce somewhat close to correctly? And a lot of two-unders. It's early. Golf course has gotten a couple today, including Rory McIlroy, 4-over, 74. He's at T-122 right now. And you have Akshay Batia, don't you?
I have Akshay Batia.
We've all kind of taken a shot at Akshay Batia this year, and you may do well with him.
Might have gotten him at the right spot. So we'll see. A lot of golf still left to be played, but he's in a good spot right now.
A lot of golf and a lot of baseball to play.
That's right. Yes, those are the two things. No matter where you're at, there's always more of it. A lot more of it.
Not top story of the day.
Well, my not top story of the day, it is the PGA Championship. It's been fun through round one. Like you said, some guys taking advantage of it. Some guys, not so much. I was shocked earlier today after not seeing much of Rory McIlroy's round. I saw somebody tweet out what his score was. I don't know if he was – I don't think he was officially done at that point, because I think he was 3-over. At that point of that tweet that I saw, I think he was just getting ready for either 17 or 18. And I went to look, and I was like, oh, let me check and see how all of our scores are doing. At that time, you just said he's T-120-something. At that time, He was T-100, and I was shocked. I was, how in the world is he T-100? It's the toe. It's the toe blister. He had to cut his practice round short. It's getting him in round one. But the golf has been a lot of fun. It should be fun the rest of the week. We know they got some rain out there late last night, but the rest of the weekend looks like it's going to be really, really, really pretty. You mentioned yesterday when we were talking about it with Richard Cross that, well, you know, it's going to be cold today and tomorrow. The temperature, not great, but it looks like once they get to Saturday, Sunday, it warms up. It's going to be beautiful, and we'll see. You always got to keep an eye on Scottie Scheffler. No matter where he is on a golf course, he's around, and you know, lately he's been making that late weekend push. I'm sure he'll be in play come Sunday, but you mentioned all the names. I'm not even going to try to mention all of those names that are at the top, 3 under. It's the score to be right now, but there's a lot of them up there, and that will start evening itself out as the week progresses.
My not top story, the Atlanta Braves, the first to 30. Another late inning win over the Cubs last night with Carl Yastrzemski's grandson, the hero, Mike Yastrzemski. Ronald Acuna's out, but the Braves, they're not missing much. With Walt Weiss in his first year as skipper of the Braves, they're rolling, and they're playing in front of huge crowds at Truist. It may be the best new ballpark that I've been to. Mm-hmm. I haven't been to them all, but it is really great with that battery area outside of it. You know it's going to be big again tonight. And I get this from Bill Shanks on Twitter, @BillShanks. The last three teams to have at least an 8-game division lead by May 13th, 2017 Astros, 2016 Cubs, 2007 Red Sox, all won the World Series that year.
Wow.
The Braves enter today leading by 9.
Wow. Holy cow. Yeah, they've been playing some really, really solid
baseball.
Thank
you, Bill Shanks.
And against the Cubs. Cubs kind
Thank
of been
you very
the hot
much,
team.
Bill Shanks.
There you go. Nailed it. But no, the against the Cubs team that's had a lot of success as of late, and the Braves still rolling. So they've definitely been fun to watch. That'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's go ahead and get to our first break. And when we return, we're talking some more PGA Championship. Gary Williams from the Golf Channel and the Five Clubs podcast. He joins us next.
Be sure to download our Hub 901 app for instant access to Sports 56 and all the Flynn broadcasting stations from anywhere. Go to the App Store and get the Hub 901 app today. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and we've got to talk the PGA Championship. Round one in progress. Max Homa on my screen with a drive. But we got to talk about all the action that's taken place so far today through round one. And joining us, it's Gary Williams from the Golf Channel, from the Five Clubs podcast. Gary, thanks so much for joining us. A lot to get into with round one underway. What has jumped out to you? What has stood out to you the most through the first round of the PGA Championship?
Well, first of all, guys, good to be with both of you. I think what stood out is that this golf course is resisting scoring more than most everybody thought, me included, although the wind this afternoon is appreciably stronger than it was this morning. Mm. The temperatures are about right now what it was when play started, and it's not going to get any warmer. It's been overcast all day. So I think the fact that there was a quarter inch of rain, the golf course was so good. I mean, I thought it was in such, you know, great shape in terms of the exacting nature of what I thought these guys were going to have to deal with. And I was worried that if they got an appreciable amount of rain, that it was going to soften it. And then this golf course couldn't be what it hopefully intends to be. But you know what? It's standing up, and I think it's primarily that. And then also the guys who did post the good scores in the morning are guys who have very, very modest major championship records collectively. And we could go through them if you want, but it would be those two things. Leaderboard with a lot of surprises, and a golf course that's been very sturdy.
Gary, almost like the PGA Championship went to Philadelphia and Royal Troon broke out with the weather for today and tomorrow.
This is my kind of weather. Memphis in July is not my that's not my vibe.
Come see us in August at the playoffs.
It's not our vibe either. We live here.
Yeah, I... I love weather like this. I think golf courses are, I think they really show themselves. When it's bright, sunny skies, you don't get to see contour and texture and color. And I get wrapped up in stuff like that. But I you're right. I mean, it is, it's supposed to be much warmer this weekend. But today is a very proper Scottish, kind of British Isles kind of day. A lot of steel gray cashmere sweaters being worn by a lot of guys today.
And, Gary, I'll get a plug in for your great advertiser. We hope it's Peter Millar, don't we?
We certainly do. I mean, if they want to wear the best. Thank you for that gratuitous plug.
You got it. Gary, your show, your podcast, and your delivery, you, it is the best. It is in such a relatable, understandable, fun, gentleman manner. I just love it. And last fall out at football, I ran into Sean McDonough. And I told him, I said, my favorite guest ever, Gary has had, and for our listeners, I don't know you and you don't know me. I said, my favorite guest ever on Five Clubs with you, with Gary Weaves. I said, is he as good a guy as it seems? He said, even better.
Sean is, I think Sean, first of all, he's a friend, and you can say, well, you're biased. I'm biased toward the best, and I think that Sean is, I think he's the best broadcaster across all sports. He used to do a lot of golf. He called the Masters for CBS. He did a lot of major championship golf for ABC/ESPN. Sean is great company. He loves the game of golf. He loves to play golf with friends. He spends the winter in Scottsdale and the summer in Boston, where, you know, in the Boston area where he was born and raised. He's great. And it's interesting. You know, when we had him on that day, he texted me afterwards, it's not an insult at all, but he's like, I was really surprised by the number of people I heard from. And I said, Sean, some people watch. I realize that you call games where millions of people are watching. That's not the case for my modest show, but no, he's not only a great generational talent as a broadcaster, he's a great friend.
I think he is the number one college football announcer out there, and every week he really brings it. My favorite holes so far at Aronimink are the holes that may be a dog leg left, but then the landing area tilts right and vice versa. Might be a dog leg right, but the landing area tilts left. And Gil Hance had a name for that the other night that I had never heard before.
Gosh, I didn't hear it. I know that. You know, Gil has worked on, you know, Gil did the restoration at the Olympic Club, and Olympic has these reverse canted holes that the actual hole goes in one direction, but the fairway is sloping in the opposite direction. And Olympic has a lot of that because it's on the side of a hill. This golf course has it because this golf course is kind of like a bowl. You have a fair number of holes that run along the perimeter, which is on the high ridges of the property, and then you have holes that play down into the valley and into the bowl, like some of the guys who are in these featured groups in the afternoon are dealing with right now, like Scheffler and his group just played 8. That plays down to the bottom. I don't know the term that he's referring to. I'll tell you one of the holes that a lot of people are familiar with that has that similar design principle applied to it is the 14th hole at Augusta National. It's a hole that bends from right to left, but the fairway goes in the opposite direction. And this golf course has a couple holes like that.
Mm-hmm. No, there definitely is. You talk about, you know, some of those big names out there, and two big names towards the bottom after round one, both Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy. What have you seen from those two guys in particular today?
You know, let me start with Bryson. I thought he was off from the beginning of the round. I thought it was a combination of decision making and then also, you know, execution. You know, if you were going to, you know, play less than driver from the tee, okay. I still don't know that's necessarily the best play, because to me, when he's at his best, he eliminates some of these challenges that other players don't even have to deal with. And what I mean by that is, you know, if a fairway pinches in or there is a fairway bunker at 318 or 320 as a carry, he can carry that. And I thought he overthought a couple of tee shots. And then, okay, if you want to lay back, well, you have to hit it in the fairway. He didn't do that. He putted poorly. and he is headed toward another miserable major championship start in 2026. And this is somebody who habitually has contended in every major, all of them, the last 3 years. Now, with Rory, I thought it was a different story. I walked with him all 4 days last week in Charlotte. I thought he drove it really nicely. His iron play was great. His chipping and his putting was poor, and I thought that was more an indicator of somebody who hadn't played competitive golf in a month's time since he won the Masters. Today, he not only drove it poorly, it was a primary right miss. And the rough at Aronimink, it's legit, but it's not U.S. Open rough. And a lot of these holes don't have forced carries, so as long as you can get a club on it, you can land it short of the green and have it run 25, 30 yards because these fairways still have a lot of roll in them. I thought he got through what was kind of a sluggish start. He made the birdie on five, which I thought was going to kind of get him going in the right direction, and that was his inward nine. And then he finished with four straight bogeys. I know he was very, very annoyed and downright angry after the round. He's not out of this golf tournament. I mean, it's not only that he's only seven shots back right now, and I don't know necessarily, even though we've got some guys, including Justin Thomas, who are three under with a lot of holes left, I'm not looking at him to take it much, much deeper. But if it's one guy, that's one thing. He doesn't have 12 or 15 guys
right,
who are, you know, seven, eight, nine shots ahead of him. And the other part, back to the point I made when I joined you guys, is there's a lot of inexperience at those three unders. And a couple of those guys, Aldrich Pikeiter and Steven Yeager, had great putting days. That is a great way to mask an average ball striking round. You can't fake ball striking for four rounds in a major. I'm not saying that they can't have good weeks, but Rory is not out of this, but he's dug himself a hole.
Gary, since the PGA Championship has gone to the May date, do you think that it's a little more rough at these golf courses for the May date than we used to have at the August date?
That's a good question. I think if you look at the scoring of the winner since they went to the May date, which was 2019, and you know Brooks Koepka, you know, he had a weird ending of that final round at Bethpage, but he shot 63 in the first round and he was just blitzing the field. But there was the scoring was very, very good. But what we've had, with the exception of Valhalla, where Xander Schauffele shot 263. Which is an ungodly record score of 21 under on a golf course that was, you know, that was set up as a par 71. We've had three of the last four winners who've been single digits under par. I think it's been one entertaining for people who are watching, and whether it's in person or on television. And here's the thing that I think that the PGA, which I appreciate about them, they do not manipulate a golf course to try to preserve anything. They set it up in a way that they think is proper, and that allows for a lot of very good scores, so be it. If it is something that, whether it be weather-related or you get dry and firm pass conditions where it's much more, you know, precise and exacting, then you're going to have somebody who's 6, 7, 8, 9 under par. So I don't – look, the only major that I think we all are sensitive to score is the U.S. Open. But I think the PGA and Kerry Haig, who's their setup guy – I think he does a really, really good job. This golf course is interesting, guys, because it's not long at all. It's actually kind of on the shorter side. The greens are everything here, and if the greens are soft, then these guys are going to undress it. But if it is firmer and faster and drier, which it appears we're going to get through the balance of the week, very good chance that 8, 9, 10 under par is going to be your winner.
Gary, so kind to you. So kind to you to join us today. We hope we can catch up U.S. Open and for the Open Championship. And we invite you to Memphis. I can't promise you we can get you around on a Roman chariot, but I do promise we have air conditioning, so we need you here in August.
Listen, I'm not coming to Memphis in August, even though he's got a great tournament there. That's actually not beyond the bounds of possibility. I'd rather come to Memphis and go to a basketball game in the wintertime when I can wear some cashmere to step outside and not be beating sweat before I step into a rental car. I will come to Memphis, and most importantly, You can count on me. Whenever you guys want to talk some golf, whether it's major championship season, the great event you guys have for the FedEx Cup playoffs, count on it. I look forward to joining you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you so much.
This has been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll do it again soon.
You got it.
Gary Williams joining us.
Okay.
Oh, man, that was
the best.
Yes.
The best golf analyst out there across all the different venues and networks and papers and magazines. Mm-hmm. He is the best. And Doug Bell was very, very kind as well. I asked Sean McDonough that in the fall, and it was the exact dialogue. And I asked Doug Bell the same thing several weeks ago. I said, you know, please don't, if you can't, could you get me a number for I said, what kind of guy is he? He said, the best. I said, can you get me a number? He said, yeah, I think so. And Doug did, and I love his show. I love his delivery, and you could tell the command of the facts.
Yeah, no, that was a blast. That was a lot of fun. But, Brett, I've got a bone to pick with you. I mean, me and you, we're not good right now. I mean, we're not good right now. I'm just telling you that.
We've never had a
this is the first.
I want to make it right, whatever it is.
There's nothing you can do. You've already done it. You've already ruined it. Akshay Bhatia, tied at the top of the leaderboard. You make note of him being my pick, not one, but back-to-back bogeys after that.
Now, come on. That can't be on me now.
I mean, he's spoken into existence.
Okay.
I mean, you pointed it out. No.
I didn't mean to do that.
I'm just joking. No, it's been fun. It is. I do like what he said, though. It is a very inexperienced top of the leaderboard, and I think that bodes really well for some of those big names that might.
Man,
be
you really
bad.
Had me scared, Brian. I thought, boy, the last thing I would want to do is offend you.
No. Just having a little fun. But man, I'm more mad at him than I am at you. I'll tell you that right now. Because
again, I took psychology fall of 1983 at Memorial Hall on Dixon, across the street from the Kappa House, and I learned about one of the terms was transference. You're angry at something else, and you transfer. Something else.
That's exactly right.
You made a solid B in that class,
there you
too.
No, that's well above passing.
10:30, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, fall of 1983.
I love that. Nailed it. But let's go ahead and get to another break. And when we return, we got to talk some NBA playoffs. We'll talk about that game from last night. We'll also talk a little bit about tomorrow night's game between the Spurs and the Timberwolves. We do that next on Sports Time.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats-Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Well, last night, the Cleveland Cavaliers got a massive win over the Detroit Pistons to go up 3-2 in that series. It needed overtime, but 117-113, the final score for the Cleveland Cavaliers over the Pistons. Pistons, they've got some issues. They are certainly not anywhere near a perfect team, but you look at what some of those stars did for Cleveland. James Harden with the 30 piece. You had Donovan Mitchell adding 21. Evan Mobley with 19. Jared Allen 16-10. Max Strus off the bench with 20 points. So they had guys step up, whereas on the other side, Detroit, it was really a one-man show with Cade Cunningham. Danish Jenkins had 19, but really outside of that, not much production from anybody else.
James Harden, they flash up the graphic, kind of like me with Akshay Bhatia. They flash up like 30 of 33 from the free throw line for the playoffs this year, and then he missed and he got his own rebound.
Yep. That's what you hate to
that
see.
That was ball game.
It was. No, that ended it. But yeah, I mean, down the stretch, James Harden was not very good in that game. You talked about the missed
free
throws.
Got loose with a handle.
He did.
Around midcourt.
He absolutely did. But you talked about those missed free throws. In the fourth quarter and overtime, he was 1-for-8 from the field. Not great. If he was just a little better, Cleveland would have won that game in regulation, wouldn't have even needed the overtime. He wouldn't have missed any of those free throws. But you're right, missed those free throws, looked like it could be big, but got his own rebound, and that pretty much did it.
I was really pulling hard for Detroit. I was pulling hard for J.B. Bickerstaff and as the lead started going away, and then when they pushed it to overtime, you could just see we need more seasoning. Mm-hmm. They need more playoff experience, and they're going to get it in the years ahead. And sitting back just high and dry and got to be laughing are the Knickerbockers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're sitting there waiting. And,
go to seven.
Yeah. No, they feel really
go
good.
Go Detroit and Cleveland and then a seventh game, and they're getting rested. They're getting well, and their confidence should be growing. This is the next time to get to the NBA Finals.
No,
I'm not putting it on them to win it all. I don't think that would be fair. But anything now, well, they got to win one more series. If you don't get to the NBA Finals, this was a missed year for the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I expect the Knicks to be in the NBA Finals. I think anything short of that is probably very disappointing
for them. It'll make the
finals
great, too.
Oh, it will.
The around town shots in New York.
Oh, yeah, it'll be jumping. It'll be really, really fun. But, you know, I think they'll be fine against either of these teams, whether it's Cleveland if they wrap it up or if it's the Pistons come back and win the series. I think the Knicks will be in a really good spot against any of these teams. I think you're seeing it now with this Detroit team. They really need to go out there this offseason and find another reliable ball handler, another guy that they can just get the ball to so it's not all on Cade Cunningham. I think you're seeing it right now where Cade Cunningham has to have the ball in his hands pretty much the entire game
and
if
get
you're going to win it.
And,
exactly. I mean, he has no options. I mean, there's nobody else that he can defer to and say, look, somebody else has to make something happen. And so then you're seeing, we had how many turnovers last night? Had a bunch of 6 turnovers last night. So you see the turnovers because, I mean, they're just asking a ton from him. And, I mean, Danish Jenkins has had a good season, but, in these big playoff moments, do you really trust him to be kind of that primary ball handler? And outside of that, I mean, they really don't have many guards that you can rely on as that number one. And I think that's got to be objective number one this offseason. Just try to get that number two ball handler in, whether he's a starter, whether he's a bench guy, a veteran guy. I mean, you think about the way that Ty Jerome was brought into Memphis this offseason. And kind of that was the role he played before. He was on that Cleveland team, and he was kind of the sixth man that came off the bench and gave them a spark and could handle the ball and make things happen. Yeah, they've got to have somebody like that. They do not have somebody like that on this team right now, and I think you're seeing it be exploited right now by Cleveland.
And as of right now, for next year, we think Ty Jerome will be back. He could be in a deal this summer, and he could be in a deal for something to get one of those young point guards in this draft. But I sometimes forget about him in the mix for next year. And it's more the assumption that I think he'll be in a deal.
Yeah, I think he will too. I think what he did, obviously, I mean, part of it is we really barely saw him.
Other 20 minutes.
Grizzlies, yeah, I mean.
It was to the millisecond, when they played.
It was. I mean, by the time he was able to get on the court, I mean, if you really weren't just die hard into every single game, you'd probably already tuned out on the season by that point. And then, he's in, he's playing spot minutes here and there because of the rehab. And so, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they deal him or if he's back. But, I mean, if I'm Detroit, I'm probably looking at a guy like Ty Jerome and saying, can I go out there and make a deal and bring a guy like that in? I don't know, the money and how that would work. But somebody like Ty Jerome, Detroit has to find somebody like that to bring in for next season, because that is a big, big hole on that team right now. Obviously, the big talk right now is Jalen Duren, the struggles that he's been having. Last night,
third-string center played most of the latter part of the game.
Yeah, Paul Reed played, I believe, the entire fourth quarter. Maybe not the entire
fourth quarter. Right? That's all of it.
But got a lot of run in the fourth quarter and a lot of run. Yeah, 12 minutes in the fourth quarter, and then all 5 minutes in overtime. So the last, 17 minutes of the game, Paul Reed was out there and did some really nice things, but they've got to have a better Jalen Duren. It feels like we're saying that after every single game, but there are some other holes on this this roster for the Detroit Pistons. I think they're being exploited here in the playoffs. No game tonight in the NBA, but tomorrow night we will have Spurs and Timberwolves. We'll talk about that more later in the show into tomorrow as we get closer to that game. But we need to get to a break, wrap up this first hour. When we return, we're talking more NBA. Keith Smith from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show, he joins us next.